Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. My name is Keith Willard. I'm your host and an event planner here in South Florida, as well as the creator of this little program. Today, we're going to be talking about how to set boundaries and expectations with vendors and to come across like a boss and not so much like a bitch. And we have a great guest that's going to help us navigate this crazy world, especially now during the age of COVID and having to set those expectations once the business starts picking back up. But before I introduce her, let me introduce our Behind the Veil crew, Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Hi, Marcy.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
And Brooke Logan Stoner. Brooke, you look amazing.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
So today we're going to be welcoming Dixie Bagley, who is the owner of The Farm in Rome, Georgia. Dixie is an event and wedding planner that has been in the business for 12 years and has experienced a lot when it comes to weddings, from the highs of seeing surprise proposals to the lows of no-show vendors and fighting wedding parties. So this is going to be an interesting conversation. She can pin a boutonniere in record time and believes that wedding planning process should be both fun and stress-free. She loves the educational aspect of wedding planning and aims to make you and your guests feel both comfortable and welcome. So, and that's what we're going to do. Welcome, Dixie Bagley. Hi.
Hi.
Dixie, it's so great to have you on Behind the Veil, and I'm so glad that we're going to be talking about this particular subject, because sometimes it's very difficult to set those expectations with vendors to say, look, this is what I expect out of you, and how to make it come across so that they're part of the team and not so much that you're the jerk that they have to listen to. But my first question to you then is, how are you such an expert in this field?
I think just being thrown into the wedding industry at rapid fire 12 years ago, doing a wedding every weekend because I was dumb and naive and challenged myself to book as many weddings as I could just to see what I could do, and quickly learning because I started with letting people bring in whoever they wanted to, which led to great disappointment on my end, and up to working with, you know, some of the best professionals in the industry now. And, you know, and it's important to let people know what they expect, what you expect out of them prior to the day of.
Right. Well, and so you said that you booked as many weddings as possible. First of all, welcome to the world of weddings.
Yes.
That had to be a massive learning curve. But also, I mean, I'm assuming that the vendors that you started with are not the same vendors that you ended up with. You had mentioned offline that you have almost 300 people on your vendor list. That's a lot of people.
It's no longer a list. It's a Facebook group.
Oh, gosh. And all of them are obviously aware of your expectations and the fact that, you know, they needed to follow these kind of guidelines.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a nice way to weed out people. So the people who didn't like that or couldn't, you know, work with what I was asking them to do, they pretty much stay away from me, which is fine.
Well, and then what do you do? How do you even start this conversation? So let's say that you're a new vendor, right? I'm a new vendor. I'm a DJ that's coming to your property to work with you for the very first time. What is kind of the initial conversation that begins all this, and some pointers for people watching? You know, how do you even broach that subject?
I always obviously give them a call. I love to talk to people and actually hear their voice or FaceTime or whatever. I think that's really important for the connections. I personally am a very cold emailer, so you won't get a lot out of me that way. And during that call, I mentioned that I have a vendor expectation agreement and that I'll be emailing that over for them to take a look at it. And feel free to call me back if they have any questions related to it.
And so you mentioned the fact that it's you said a paperwork? Are you saying a contract?
It's like a document, yes, for them to sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you were new to the world of weddings, now that it's 12 years, obviously you're no longer new to the world of weddings, how did you even start figuring out what to put in the document?
So I've always been one of those people, I keep a running list in my phone, you know, notes on your iPhone. So right. Every weekend, I think it probably took me, you know, about two weddings where I had stuff happen that I really was just like, I hate that. I don't ever want to experience that again.
We've all been there.
I didn't want to forget that I hated it and let it happen a third time. You know what I mean? So I started making a running note in my phone and just compiling every time something would happen that I either loved or didn't like. I just would, you know, hit a little voice thing on my phone and make a voice memo of it. And so it kind of came out of that list of, you know, going through the motions and learning. And I was like, okay, I have enough now that I can put this on paper and, you know, and send this to people.
Well, and so what are some of the things that are on the list that maybe not a lot of people even think about?
I am huge on wanting my vendors to be here and done with setup in essence 2 hours ahead of time. Okay. At that point in time, it's difficult. The photographer's ready to take photos. I want them to be done. They can go somewhere. They can come back if they need to. But I do not want the DJ out there 2 hours ahead of time in his sleeveless t-shirt and his gym shorts sweating and dropping cords when all of that happens. So that's a big deal for me. And, you know, the appearance of what it looks like 2 hours ahead of time, because you've always got those people who come early. God bless them. Sometimes 2 hours early. They're hungry.
I like the fact that you said, God bless them. I had other words, but okay.
I know. Well, for F's sake is what I say most of the time. but you know, but they need, all that stuff needs to be done. That's very important to be done and be clear. And also it gives the couple peace of mind. If the couple comes up here 2 hours ahead of time, there's somebody scrambling to finish setting up. They're going to start getting nervous.
Right.
And I'm going to look irritated, which is not going to make them happy either.
So, obviously here in South Florida, a big part of our business, because you've got the unique perspective as a venue owner as well as an event planner. But if you're a venue here in South Florida, you know, a lot of times it's about maximizing time and space.
Yeah.
And so hotels will have a lunch event that lasts until 3:00. And a lot of times you only have the 2 hours to set up. I'm assuming that this is unique to your property then. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I have the ability. The earlier, I mean, if a vendor calls me and they say, "Okay, can I come in at 7:00 in the morning?" Absolutely, by all means. The earlier you can get here and set up and be done, the better for the client and the experience with the other vendors as well, to kind of stay out of their way, you know, so that everybody has ample time to set up and get their things done without stepping on each other.
Okay, so, but I mean, what kind of advice would you give some, like a hotel, when they said, okay, these are our expectations, you know, and they can't be there, obviously, earlier than 2 hours, because typically you have a 2 hour window. What are some of the other things that are on your list that you think are important?
It obviously depends on the venue. We are a barn venue, so it could easily go up and smoke. I'm not a fan of people smoking anyway. Especially not a fan of a vendor who is taking cigarette breaks. That is a huge no-no for me. You stink, you smell bad, you look bad. There's nothing attractive about it, and it's not your day to smoke. You're here to do something for someone else, not take cigarette breaks. So for me, that's a big thing. Like if it's somebody who's coming here and that's a big part of their lives, smoking, they're not going to be a good fit, because I am going to be judging them and looking at them with a shady, stank eye the whole time.
You give them the Dixie stink eye. I love it. The Dixie stink eye.
I barely eat on the weekends when I do events. I damn sure don't have time to smoke cigarettes.
Right. So. Oh my God. But Brooke, don't you and I know about that? I mean, we always lose about 5 or 10 pounds every weekend. Because there's just not enough time.
I need to work more.
Yes. I think we all need to work a little more now. Well, okay. So no cigarette breaks. That's obviously a big one. But what other things? Like, I mean, you brought up attire. So I'm assuming being professionally dressed is part of that list.
Yeah, that's really important to me. I'm sure y'all know as well, some people show up just not dressed appropriately at all. A big no-no for me. Even if you're set up, what you wear to set up should still be professional. So that's a huge thing for me, the appearance of people. I mean, again, going back to this, let me say, you know, for the most part, I'm the first point of contact. I'm the person directing my clients to spend money on these vendors. And so I don't think it's unreasonable for me to ask them to do certain things to make the overall picture and experience look good and come off better. So, I mean, you know, there's things, everybody, I've got different things, you know, for catering, for example, I don't want them dragging trash bags. A trash bag should never be pulled out of a trash can in a room and carried out. That is a no-no. You know, no gum chewing. You know, don't wear overpowering.
That's interesting.
Don't wear overpowering cologne or perfume. You're here to serve somebody else, not smell up the whole venue with your nice new perfume. You know, just there's a lot of piddly things. And, my husband told me something a long time ago. He said my list reminded him of Hugh Hefner's list for the Playboy bunnies in the club. And I was like, I'm fine with that. I don't want chipped nail polish. I am that person. Like, your nails and toes should be painted or not. No right. In between. You know, just people are paying a lot of money for us to make their day work. You should come and give them what they want and look good and be very presentable the whole time. And I just firmly believe that.
Do I dare ask how many pages this thing is?
It's 2 pages. It's not bad at all.
I'm trying to figure out if I want to sit next to you or if I want to sit
either or.
In lunch lady land. I'll let you know at the last 7 minutes that she's passing off.
Well, okay, so your vendor list is fairly robust, as you said, because now it's a Facebook group. I'm going to go back to being a new vendor, because I feel like that's kind of the best way, especially for people in South Florida that have been pivoting their businesses. Like we have a good friend and dear colleague that has changed her position from, I think she was in linen sales, and now she's doing photography, and she's an incredible photographer. But you know, that's a completely different direction in her business. You know, what are some of the other things that she needs to be aware of? Like, I mean, do you get involved in like the contract process that the photographer would go through with the client, or do you let them have that as a separate piece? Like, that's their business, and you are only concerned about how they present themselves once they come onto the property.
Most of the time, most of my clients end up hiring me to plan. I would say 80% end up hiring us to plan their stuff as well. So I end up seeing that a lot in general. And on the other end of that, I end up seeing a lot of people's contracts just because they want help or guidance, or they want to see, you know, if there's any suggestions that I have in there to make changes. So, you know, I end up seeing it most of the time. But for the most part, if someone hired a photographer that, you know, I've never worked with, I'm not demanding to see their contract. I would just introduce myself and say, you know, hey, I'm going to send over this vendor agreement of, you know, please take a look at it and sign it and get it back to me. Because, you know, there's a certain liability. Of course, we all require, you know, these vendors to come in with insurance. But, you know, they may come in and do something that's totally dumb or mess something up, you know what I mean, and not realize it. And it's going to put a dent in things, you know what I mean, for the future. And there's no sense in that when you can just send a simple document of your yeses and your noes and, you know, and go from there. I mean, let's be honest, if most people came with an instruction manual, we'd all be happier.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh my God. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, and honestly, nobody reads the instruction manuals. We all just plug and play. We know. But still,
I think
that might be a nice thing. But you know, I used to be at the Ritz-Carlton, and Ritz-Carlton had kind of a massive list as well, as far as the do's and don'ts, entry, you know, delivery times, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the big things, well, obviously, was insurance. So for somebody that's coming into the industry and doesn't know what that insurance is all about, can you give everybody a little idea of what the expectations are when it comes to insurance?
Yeah, I mean, I let everyone know that I do not work with people who are not insured. If they can't take their business seriously, I cannot take them seriously and will not give them clientele, no matter how good their work is. That's just not something I will not budge on.
Right.
I think it's very important, you know, obviously for you as a business person and to have insurance, and also for the fact that you're offering your services to clients, that you need to be insured in case something goes wrong. Most of the time it doesn't, because we're all very well versed at this, you know. But it could, and you don't want to be held liable for that. And so, you know, I do have some people, mostly photographers, who come to me and they don't have insurance. And I have to explain to them, first of all, it's not that expensive. And, you know,
it's not
bad. And if you can't justify paying $50 a month or $100 a month to protect your business, I cannot justify sending you a client who's willing to give me $20,000-$30,000. You know, not to mention what they're going to pay the vendors. You know what I mean? So I just tell people, I'm like, I'm sorry. Until you can do this, it's just, we're not a good fit.
Well, I'm going to give a shameless plug to Hiscox Insurance, who I have my insurance through. I mean, it's $350 a year, and it's $2 million worth of coverage. I mean, it's incredible. Oh. I love them.
I love them now too. A little slip and fall.
No, you're no slipping and falling. No.
I'll make some of the cast and everything. Yeah, that's look legit.
That's right.
That's for the professional. Insurance, not for Arizona missions.
Yeah. So that's for an event planner. That's what I spend. And I honestly just love them because anytime I need a certificate of insurance, it's instantaneously there. Mm-hmm. I go online, I do the information. It instantly is sent to me. It's kind of a no-brainer. And it's something obviously all hotels here in South Florida require. And I think that it's honestly, at the end of the day, it's worth the investment. For me, it's not even an investment. I mean, what is that? That's, you know, advertising on the knot for a month. I mean, for goodness sakes, you know, and this allows you to get into almost any hotel or any venue that requires that. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, you said your first, I keep going back to your first year because first of all, I think you're just crazy for trying to book to try to book every single weekend. I mean, I can't even imagine this crazy amount of stress that you went through. What was kind of the one moment, the turning point that you said, yeah, no, I need a list?
I think, like I said, I'm very good about reviewing myself every year. About this time of year, every year, I kind of go through things, look at my contracts. That's the one thing I've always been very consistent about from early on. But like I said, once that list got to be had so many things on it, I realized, you know, okay, I need to put this on paper and send this out. And also just running into most of the issues that I was running into with people not coming with insurance, even though I told them to, even though it was in the contract, even though I called them, you know what I mean? I'm like, you're supposed to send that to me. And I realized I need to be more diligent about that, saying, hey, if you're coming here to work next month, I need your certificate of insurance now. And I need you to sign this vendor agreement, which has it in there. So, because I know, you know, sometimes people on this in the wedding world are a little flighty and a little.
What? I have no idea what you're talking about.
So I realized that once I put that all on paper and requested, it was just an easier thing to have that vendor agreement along with my expectations regarding their insurance so that I could get all that done a month ahead of time and turn it into my insurance people and be done. And, you know, that's over with. And it's something most of the time we only have to do once. I mean, you know, once we do it, and then you just, when your insurance renews, you send me a new certificate, but that vendor agreement, you just sign it one time for me and, you know, and kind of go over everything that I have in there and agree to it.
Marcy?
So I actually have a question about advertising. So there's a difference between advertising in the sense that, like, you're talking about a magazine or such, but if as a venue, oftentimes they are approached by companies to advertise their preferred vendor list. Mm-hmm. Do you have one? And if you don't have one, how do you feel about that? Do you like the idea of having all of your vendors in one package? Mm-hmm. Or do you feel that maybe it's not giving the opportunity for all of your vendors who don't necessarily want to advertise the opportunity to be with you?
Right. I do. I have in the past dabbled, you know, in having a brochure where vendors could buy into it. I think that kind of worked for 50% of the people who took that packet, that they hired just those vendors. But at the same time, I just had a conversation with somebody this morning for a tour. They were wondering why I don't have an all-inclusive package. And I said, because my vendor list has got 300 people and there's so many great people out there offering wedding services. You know what I mean? Like, of course I have my top three people in every category that I immediately always go to. They're my dream team. Great people. But that doesn't mean there's not so many other people out there who I don't even know about. You know what I mean? And so I want my clients to be happy. I've been married twice. I had my way twice, okay, with the wedding. This is their turn to make those decisions. And so I feel like it's really important to have a big list and to be open to more people, you know, to each his own. For the people who just want to have, you know, five people to offer, that's fine. That's their deal. But that's not right. Me. I pretty much love everybody, you know, and like everybody, want to give everybody a chance to be successful.
Well, I was about to say, I don't know if you love everybody.
As long as you have insurance. Listen,
I'm pretty open to loving everybody until they give me a good reason not to.
Right? Like if they chew gum or have chipped paint.
Yeah. Chipped fingernails are on wedding day.
Oh, yeah. yes, your nails are fabulous. Well, yeah. that comment, it just threw me off a little bit.
Sorry.
No, say what were you going to say, Brooke?
I said I smell good, though. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm all for smell. I saw you spraying before.
Well, you know, and one of the things that, and I'm glad that you brought that up, especially about new vendors, because I have a vendor that I absolutely love. Her name is Erica Rango. She is the owner of Light Sky Photography. We just love and adore her. But she originally started as the receptionist at my doctor's office, and you know, years ago, I'm talking probably 8-9 years ago, she had actually stopped me and said, you're in the event industry and this is what I do. And, you know, tell me what you think. And I said, you need to quit this job right now and go into business for yourself because you're way too good. You know, fast forward 6 years, she's considered one of the top 10 photographers in South Florida. She's incredible. But if there wasn't somebody there to give her a try, you know, she would have never gotten to this point. And it makes me happy to see that you're actually still open to that and that you give people a chance. How do you go about, like, how do you know when you find talent? What is kind of a telltale sign of, like, real talent to you?
I mean, you know, I see it a lot, especially with photographers where I'll, you know, see their work on Facebook or something like that. And I'll reach out to them because I just think what they're doing is beautiful. I love their style and they've got potential for so much more. And I pretty much just give them a call. I'm big on calling people. I will cold call somebody in a heartbeat and, you know, throw out what I'm thinking. They can either think they're crazy or they can go with it. But, you know, that's the way. I mean, my husband and I have, you know, like I said, we've got several companies between the two of us. And the reason why is because I've not been afraid to do that kind of stuff. I've not been afraid to, like, put it out there. Like, if I think it and I believe it, and or you and me, no matter what, I'm going to say it. And I could be wrong. But, you know, you never know till you try. So I'm all about giving people that opportunity and pushing people to be their best and, you know, to go for it. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, 12 years ago, if you told me that I would be doing what I'm doing in the wedding world, I was a personal trainer in a guy's world. I mean, all men. I was like, hell no, no. I will never be that person. And now here it is, 12 years later, and I do weddings and, you know, nonstop and all of that stuff, and everybody's like, you know, thinks that I'm such a girly girl, and I'm like, really not. I just kind of like fell into the wedding industry, and like it just happened, you know. And I'm really a like straight talker, no bullshit kind of girl, and
love
never
it.
Imagined sure, I would fit into the wedding industry.
Well, okay.
If you weren't doing this, what else would you be doing?
Oh, I mean, there's no telling. I'm one of those people, if I am idle, I learn something new. That's how I became a personal trainer. I just got married, and I tried to play that nice little sit home and be the wife thing, and I was like, I can't handle it. So I got certified through American Council on Exercise and became a personal trainer. I'm just not one of those people. Anytime I have time to sit down and think, I come up with something. I've got a new business that's in the making right now. The other day, we have an airplane hangar, and I told my husband I wanted to remodel an apartment in it and turn it to Airbnb, and showed him what I wanted. So
I love airport hangars for events. By the way, it's like kind of one of my favorite go to. But you know, my whole family's pilots, so you know, I grew up in the airport.
My husband is a pilot. I mean, just for shits and giggles and flying himself around. My brother's a pilot. He's the youngest captain with FedEx. So, flying's big in our family. And so we have two hangars and I host events at one of them.
Well, you said that you've been married twice. So I'm assuming the first one was practice. And, you know, that, you know.
100%.
Right. 100%. We've all been there. But, you know, as a bride, you know, what kind of advice would you give a bride that's just getting into, you know, starting to plan her own wedding? I mean, first of all, we know get an event planner, but let's say she wants to try and do some of this herself. What are some of the things, the telltale signs that say that this event planner is professional, that this event planner is going to do a great job for her? What are some key things to look out for?
Well, I always tell people who hire me that I want them to love me. They've got to love me. Like, they need to be able to handle the fact that I'm a straight shooter, the fact that I say some bad words every now and then. They just need to love me, because if they love me automatically, we're going to have a great relationship, and they're going to trust me and take everything I say, you know, seriously and really give it a lot of thought. So I think just instinctively right off the bat, just loving that person and having that connection with them when you talk and meet, because right. I mean, we're handling the biggest and one of the most important things of their lives, you know, and we're also counseling and dealing with all the crap.
Oh my God, right?
Dealing with, yeah, with the mother-in-law who's trying to push her to do this, and the other mom trying to push her to do this, and she doesn't want to do any of it. You know, and I think you have to be a good sounding board and be honest. I'm always honest. I'm not afraid to tell a mom that, hey now, you got married once already. Do you want to renew your vows? Do we need to renew your vows so that you can have your time? Because this is her time. And being strong enough to throw myself out there and say that kind of stuff, you know, and not really hurt anybody's feelings is really important. And that's where it comes back to, they have to love me and be like, I love Dixie. She just told me to be quiet.
That's awesome. Well, I love the fact that you brought up that story, because we had a bride whose mother refused to go outside for the ceremony. And I said to her, I said, look, if you don't go to your own daughter's ceremony, nobody's going to look at the bride and think she's the one that's being a bitch. They're all going to go, can you believe the mother didn't show up for the ceremony just because she didn't want to sit outside? I said, that's the perception, that's the reputation, that you're going to be the one of the most well-known people at this event. Don't let that be the opinion that you put out there for people. You know, suck it up, sit there for 30 minutes and move on. Right? What I love about what you've said so far is that it's really, I'm getting a weird feedback, is the fact that you're very straightforward as far as what you're saying. You know, part of the intro was talking about how to come across like a boss and not a bitch. And I think that having straightforward, honest communication seems to be key in this world of yours, correct?
Oh, yes, very much. I try to be efficient in my communication with people. So I'm very to the point about things. You know, when I want to get to know somebody, I just point blank ask the hard questions. I want to know the ugly parts about you if you work for me, and I want to know the good parts about you, because inevitably your ugly parts and your bad days are going to fall on me and affect you. So, you know, I'm not afraid to ask those questions to get to know each other and be upfront and honest about things.
And then what's number one on your list? So the document that you send out, what's number one?
I have to look at it. Remember, I've got so many on there.
I know, but I just was interested to see what was the very first thing somebody would read.
I believe it's insurance.
I was going to say okay. Insurance. But I didn't want to be a smart ass, but I would have been right.
Right. Well, and then what's number two?
Let's see. I'm pulling it up here. So
that's funny.
I just have to shoot it to you real fast. We should have already done that probably.
No, it's all good. I mean, that, you know, the whole point of this is to have this conversation so that way brides and vendors are able to add to this list of theirs to say, you know, these are some really great points to kind of look out for. And these are the things that I should be expecting from a professional event planner or professional event professional. That seems redundant, but you understand what I'm saying, is that, you know, these are the kind of the things that we would want people out there to kind of incorporate into either the way they deal with clients or for a bride to incorporate in her search when finding a good vendor. And I think that's the whole point of this segment and this conversation is to help people go, these are the questions you should be answering and asking. And these are the answers that you should be getting.
Yes. So the second thing is it applies to time. So it's what we talked about earlier. I'm open to them coming as early as they want to. Just give me a call and set up. I'm all about that and about finishing up in time, you know, 2 hours prior. So that's the second thing on the list.
What do you expect from your event planners? Because you said 80% hire you, but there's still 20% out there that don't hire you. So what are the best things that you found from event planners, and what are the worst habits of event planners?
The best event planners come and scope out the venue before they say yes to the client, right, to make sure they can handle it. The worst planners don't do that. And they show up here that day and they're broke down and tired by 2 o'clock and, you know, need to take their shoes off. And I'm like, girl, we don't take shoes off. I wear high heels for 15 hours on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, you've got whatever the cushion shoes from McDonald's on. You should be fine.
I admire the 16-hour heel gig, honey, but I wear my heels, but as soon as that reception hits,
oh bam, yeah.
Flat. Yeah, no, I don't. I am ride or die. Every now and then I'll come in my office and I'll think about taking them off. And I'm like, if I take them off, it's all
like for the rap.
Me too. I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, do I want to take off my heels? No.
I need to put them back on.
Well, I have a funny story. My hairdresser and I went to a wedding. He's a fabulous, fabulous gay Ken Barbie doll. And a woman was standing next to us at the wedding with her shoes off and barefoot. And he looked at her and said, why are your shoes off? And she said, because my feet hurt. And he looked her up and down and looked at her again and said, so why are your shoes off? Like, girl, that means you need to put shoes back on. Like, this is not appropriate.
Beauty is pain, baby.
Right, beauty is pain. Well, especially if you take it off here.
I don't care if your feet hurt. Put the shoes on. You came here with them, put them on.
And we've talked about it, some of the expectations that you have with vendors. Do you have expectations of your clients and of the people that attend the wedding?
I do. In my contract, I do have a clause about how I expect to be treated, you know, as far as like I won't deal with anybody being disrespectful, sexual harassment, being rude, micromanaging me or my staff. But that's just not an option. And if that does happen, they will be asked, you know, one time to stop it. And if they don't stop it after that, they will be escorted off the property. And I tell my clients it's their responsibility to make sure that they don't invite that person to their wedding, because they're probably going to be a problem.
Gosh, this sounds so much like Lori Hartwell. I'm from the Bridal Society. Like, as you're talking about it, I can almost hear her say that exact same thing. So I'm assuming that you're a fan of the Bridal Society.
Yeah, I got certified with the Bridal Society. Gosh, I think it was in 2006. I suck at time. I barely know how old I am.
But don't be late.
Don't be late.
When it comes to dates and stuff, I'm like, I don't know. Was that yesterday? I had an asshole clause in my contract prior getting certified with the Bridal Society. And then I added a few things after the Bridal Society. And then my attorney who did my, like, went over all my stuff, she didn't really like the asshole clause.
What did she change it to? Change my ringtone? I don't know.
It's just number two now, the second clause in my contract. But I tell people when I put my contract out, I'm like, the only weird thing you're probably going to find in here is the fact that if you're not nice, that I can fire you and you're not going to give me money.
Perfect.
So I let them know that, because most of them, as you know, won't read. So I'm like, and I made sure it was on the front page with my attorney. I was like, I need this to be on the front page somehow. It can't be on the second or third page. It needs to be on that first page. And so she did that for me.
See, I think that's super appropriate. And I love the fact that we even brought this up, because I feel like there should be a list of expectations, not only for vendors, but also for your client and how the people are going to act during the event, because setting those expectations on both sides just reduces any mystery at all. Like, this is what we expect from each other, and this is what we're going to deliver. What do you do in those cases that somebody doesn't follow through and it's in the middle of the event?
I've had a mom act up like a fool in the middle of an event. And I just, you know, politely told her that she needed to stay in her lane and we could discuss it afterwards, or I could stop working on her daughter's wedding right that second and we could go to my office and have a chat about it.
Wow. And, so, and well, and I brought this up before we went on air talking about, you know, now in the world of COVID, when so many people are, you know, trying to figure out how to survive. And so some of them are cutting, you know, reducing kind of this list and their expectations of clients, taking on probably clients that, you know, they might not be, wouldn't normally be taking on, and vice versa. There could be brides out there that are talking to vendors that they might not have talked about or talked to before COVID. Mm-hmm. And now because of COVID, how do you see this business evolving from like here on out? Do you, because I know kind of what your answer is going to be, but you know, do you feel like that taking care of the short term is the way to go, or should people try to do as much as they can to survive the long term and hold to their, you know, to their guns?
I definitely think long term sticking is the way to go. I mean, you know, we're in a stage right now, you know, and it's going to change. I mean, we don't know what it'll change to, but I think sticking to your guns and remaining, you know, firm in where you stand with that kind of stuff is the best thing to do. It's not going to make you happy if you default or lower your standards or anything like that. And ultimately, I tell my clients this, I'm like, you don't want half of me. You want all of them. You know what I mean? So,
like, great way to put it. That is, yeah, a really great way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they may say, hey, I need a lower price or something because of COVID or whatever, which I totally get. But I always tell people, I'm like, you don't want a half. You, when you contact someone about their service, you don't want half of their service. You want all of them. You want the best of them. Or you wouldn't have contacted me. You don't want to go to my bakery and get half a donut. You want the whole damn donut. I mean,
did you find a coupon in the paper half off the wedding planners today?
Yeah, I love it when people are like, I had a woman who just booked me for our venue, and she actually asked me about if I had a smaller package for 50 because they're going to do a 50 person event, which is great. You know, but I had to explain to her, she's going to want all the lights on. My barn, right, can accommodate 250 people downstairs and 250 people upstairs. And I told her, I was like, you're not going to want just half the lights on for your 50 people. You're going to want this whole place lit up, right, you know, like the 4th of July. And she's like, oh, you're right. She's like, that totally makes sense to me now. You know what I mean? And she got it. And I was like, yay. She gets it. She understands what I'm talking about.
Oh, my goodness. Marcy?
What do you have expectation-wise for teardown for after the event?
I ask that they just be very efficient in their teardown and start immediately. I mean, I know for some people, depending on what they bring in, it could be later, but I don't want people leaving out of here at 1 or 2 in the morning. You know, I want them to like be prepared to do it in an hour. I'm fortunate that my team of people that helps me, we're not afraid to jump in and help each other and help other vendors with their stuff so that they can get out of here at a reasonable time.
And what do you consider a reasonable time?
An hour and 20 minutes at most.
And how long do you feel like a wedding should go? How long do you think a typical wedding should go? Because, you know, there's some people that are like, oh, we're going to party until the morning, the sun rises.
Yeah. Spare me. Yeah. I'm like, nothing good happens to you at that time of night. Okay. Like, nothing. You don't look good on camera, not behaving. You're doing the worm on the floor. You know, like,
that's not even like a writing another check. That's like cold hard cash. A lot of it.
Well, yes. I always say I wish people would just kind of stick to 6 hours, 7 hours at most. But you know, I mean, there are those people who don't. They want to have the longest, wildest party, you know, that they can have. And I do warn all my clients. I'm like, you are not going to be happy with your photos, like after a certain point in time, because we cannot, they can't edit the dumb drunk look on your face.
Right.
That's
the pumpkin at midnight is the pumpkin.
It really is.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
Have you, and I'm going to ask you about your input on this. It's like, you know, one of the issues that I've had in the past is that I have really great relationship with a lot of vendors. Obviously COVID has created a lot of unfortunate circumstances for a lot of people. We're having to do things that we never even thought would be in our wildest dreams as ways to survive. And people have reacted both positively and negatively. It's either brought out the best in people or the worst in people. And so the circumstances is that, you know, I have a, I have, a photographer that has delayed in getting some pictures back to a bride, and the bride has now reached out to me to see if I can intervene and help out. And of course I'm going to, but you know, it's, I don't see it typically as like, I expect my vendors to continue to do their job even now, even more so now. I feel like it's even more important that you have this code of ethics and that you stick to your timeline now more than ever, because everybody is so super sensitive. It's already bad out there. What's your input on this?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've kind of run into the same thing. I mean, I personally, you know, since August have been nonstop doing weddings, back to doing weddings, and large weddings. I mean, I did several 250 person weddings recently, and like in the process though of getting vendors to respond to them, you know, when we were trying to find who was the right fit, it was a process. I mean, like vendors weren't calling back as quickly as what they should and what they would be in normal times. And, you know, and I had to reach out to them and go, look, do you not want to work? Are you just on vacation? Are you in your pajamas sitting on the couch? Like, what's happening? I get it. But, you know, you need to let me know, because I'm trying to, you know, give my vendors work during this time. And if they're not calling back within 24 hours or responding to the clients, then they're going to be ready to move on. And they're not going to trust that that's the best vendor for them. So it's something where, you know, you definitely need to be even more so on top of it right now than what you were prior to.
Well, and you said that you're doing weddings for 250 people.
Yeah, I'm like, well.
I mean, here in South Florida, we hear that, and I mean, like, literally, the hairs on the back of my head went all prickly, and I was like, cross-eyed a little bit. My mouth went dry.
You all said the same thing.
I was like, you know, because down here, right now with Broward County and Miami Dade, the restrictions that we're having to face are fairly intense. Like, it's 50% occupancy. Are you seeing the same kind of restrictions up in your area? Because, and then, I mean, obviously, if you have a barn, I feel like your occupancy could be 1,000. You could do a wedding easily for 500.
Yeah,
but.
I can. And because pretty much everything we've had this year, we do have an indoor space, but everything we've had this year has been outdoors. The weather's been ideal. Everyone's chosen to stay outdoors. I'm privately owned, so I don't have to do any of that stuff.
Right.
You know, it was really a matter of if their vendors could provide services, mainly bar and catering. You know, if they could provide and how they would provide their services to the clients.
And have your expectations changed because of COVID in order to keep people safe?
You know, not really. I do. I mean, I do have, you know, there's a part of me where I'm, because I own a bakery, I know what you're supposed to do related to food and beverage. So I have looked at some caterers and been like, you know, that's not okay to do. You're not supposed to do that. And not only are you not supposed to do that, but I know firsthand that you're not supposed to do that, you know? So I say that to them, and, you know, and it comes down to the customer say, you know, discussing kind of their wishes of how much they want this to change, because a lot of people, you know, they still want to have a big old nasty buffet and let their friends serve themselves. And that's another no.
Like, literally, I'm like, I just vomited a little bit in my mouth. I was like, what?
I know.
No. You know.
That's a lot of people. I mean, I had a bride who this year, she had a beautiful wedding. I mean, it was about $180,000 event here, 250 people. And she had it set in her head that, you know, the table would be preset and those napkins would be folded and draped on the table. And it wasn't happening. And she, you know, and she, I was also her planner. And she really, really wanted me to kind of strong arm this catering company who's very well known, you know, to do things her way, because she wanted it. And it was her day. And I just had to explain to her. I was like, this is not about you. This is about them not being able to keep their licensing to serve food if they put a napkin on the table. You know, like, this is her nose. And she's like, well, if I sign a waiver that I won't hold them harmful if this happens. And I was like, that's still not fair. No. You're asking someone to risk their company for your table. Your table.
Yes.
I'm like, you know, and so I had to talk to her. And once I talked to her, she realized that she was being unreasonable. You know what I mean? But it was just it's a weird position to have to be in. Something I never thought I would have to do is go between a caterer and a couple and,
right.
and delegate why we can't have a folded napkin on the table.
Well, you know, we all don't like double dipping Uncle Eddie. Yeah. You know, there's always one. There's always one if you have one of those buffets out there. But I find it kind of interesting that, you know, you're now find yourself in the unfortunate circumstance of having to be the go-between between a bride and a caterer. How do you handle that? Where do you draw the line? Because obviously you work with this caterer all the time over and over and over. So you kind of already get an idea of like their work ethic and what they do. And they've signed their document. You know, but let's say the bride actually has a point.
Yeah.
You know, how do you broach that subject? You know, do you say, look, I'm paying you. This is how you have to do it. Or is it a more, you know, conversational style?
For the most part, I'm always going to take the side of the business person because I know what it's like to, you know, we all have our own businesses. We have
right.
a ton of bosses, you know what I mean? Like right. that we have to listen to. And so, you know, with that kind of stuff, I mean, you know, I have to take the business side of that because while I understand that she's been dreaming of a folded napkin or whatever, you know, on her Pinterest page for a year, at the end of the day, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is making sure that this person continues to be able to run their business. It's already suffering because of COVID. That they continue, you know, to have a good business and a good reputation and not have one of the wedding guests leave and go, they folded napkins on the table, not knowing that the bride existed. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And go bad mouthing that business. And that's so I'm on the side of the business person.
Good.
What is the protocol there as far as like masks or the dance floor and, you know, other aspects concerning the room?
Really nothing. I mean, you know, as far as outside areas and here in Rome and Philly County, there's not been any huge enforcement of anything. You know, I mean, I think like that there was I don't know if y'all know who Velcro Pygmies are. I barely know who they are, but they're a band and there's a place in downtown Rome that does concerts. I mean, just, you know, tons of people and Rome River Jam is a big concert outside. All of that stuff continued to happen. I mean, you know, everything kind of kicked back in June, July, and you know, and there's not a whole lot of mask wearing. At all of my weddings, masks have been a favor that people have given out, and everybody right. takes masks. There's maybe two or three people wearing them.
Well, and there's a responsibility that comes with being not only the venue owner, but also an event planner. Like for me, I have to do everything I can to remind people to wear their mask. And Broward County has some pretty strict rules in place. Like you can't have more than six people on a dance floor. You have to have 6 square feet per person. Yeah. People had to wear their mask. You can't have place cards because it encourages congregating and that you can't have a name board. You have to text people their table number. So, like, it's pretty. Yeah.
That is not mine.
Yeah, pretty strict. You know, but and a lot of that responsibility will come back on me because I'm the planner. And mm-hmm. and so my question is that, and we talked about this a little bit before we went live, is that if somebody makes this mistake, it's reflected on you. Mm-hmm. Like, people go, oh, well, you know, so-and-so was the event planner, even though it was either one of your vendors or one of your, you know, clients. Yes. How do you protect yourself against that kind of stuff?
Right. Well, obviously with all vendors are encouraged to wear their mask because that's just, you know, what it's the right thing to do. And it's what is expected of everyone. You know, as far as the guests that are coming into these events that are concerned about this, almost all of those people that are concerned call me directly and ask me like, hey, I'm coming to a wedding there in November. And what's the situation going to be like? How far are we going to be, you know, seated from each other? And I explain to them, look, I put chairs out and I place them at a distance. However, if you come in and move it to sit close to somebody, that falls on you. If you move everything I set up, so you can be closer to somebody, you know, that's on you. So I mean, I probably only get 1 to 2 of those per event.
Yeah, which is great. And that seems to be the world at large. There's always just 1 or 2 that create the massive drama when going to be easy. But, you know, we're getting closer to the end of our show, so I want to kind of go back to our original subject. What do you feel is that your best asset as far as being able to come across as a boss and not a bitch?
Definitely, you know, being direct and honest, and like I said, being efficient with, you know, what you're saying to people, make your words count. I firmly believe that people treat you the way you let them treat you.
Right.
So, you know, telling them what you expect and what you like and what you don't like is really important, especially in business, so that we can all get together and work together and cohesively and not have any issues or any headbutting. So that's really important to me.
Do you have a preference of the method of communication, or do you let the couple decide for you?
As far as planning, you mean?
As far as planning, like if they wanted to text versus email, per se.
Yes, I kind of let them decide that. Most of them, you know, for the most part, everybody's texters. But you know, I am a firm believer when we're talking about, you know, serious logistical things, that is for email and DocuSign. But everything else, you know, they can text me. I encourage all my clients, to be honest, to, if they wake up in the middle of the night and they think of something that's bothering them, I want them to text me. I may not answer, or I may answer in some totally inappropriate emoji that was not my husband. That's happened. but, you know, I want them to feel that, connection to me and know that, you know what I mean? I do care. And I would much rather my clients ask me something than to move toward a dumb decision.
Well, I have to tell you, that's totally not the bridal society way.
Just, I know.
Because I feel the exact same way. I have no boundaries when it comes to time or distance. I'm like, I don't have office hours. If I'm awake, that's an office hour, you know?
Yeah.
And so it sounds like you're the same way. So that actually makes me feel a little better, because I was like, really?
No, it's funny, but like if you see an ad in a magazine, or you get a brochure or the billboard or anything like that, that's my phone number. This phone right here. And so anytime I answer the phone, I'm like, this is Dixie. You wouldn't believe how many people are like, oh my God, I wasn't expecting you to answer. Like, I follow you on Instagram. I follow all your stuff. They're like, I was expecting like an answering service or something. And
every time
people love that, they're sold the second they get me on the phone, a real person, you know what I mean? And that aspect of it. And it's not something, you know, I'm comfortable with doing it. It's not hindering my lifestyle. You know, I mean, I do every now and then get a cray cray person who was like, and I mean, you know, like I had one bride, she was so sweet. Every Friday, which was her off day, she would start texting me back to back to back to back. And of course, Friday, I'm working on somebody's wedding. And I called her and I said, girl, I'm going to have to cut your fingers off. I was like, and she didn't even realize, you know what I mean? I was like, do you want me on the phone on your weekend? You're probably not going to want that to happen. So I'm like, unless you are on fire or in tears, do not text me like this Friday through Monday. Okay. I've got somebody else I'm with. And so, you know, I'm just really honest about it with people. If I find they're, you know, blurring the lines, they are going overboard with that, I will say something to them. But most of them take it just fine. They're like, I'll keep my fingers. I don't want you to cut my fingers off.
So I'm assuming it. Yeah, right. Well, and honestly, even if you cut off her fingers, she would find a way. They
text to talk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or they're stubbing it. It's like, no, they'll find a way. You know, they'll do it with their toes, for goodness sakes. God bless them, because, you know, that's our job. And I love my brides, because there's nothing like a fabulous bride, to be honest. At the end of the day, seeing somebody get up on the aisle and that's perfect dress in that perfect moment, there's just something like crazy magical about that one particular moment. Mm-hmm. You know, after that, once they say I do, oh my God, the pressure's off. And they're like, after they say yeah, like the pressure's off, then they're ready, like, whoo, then all of a sudden it's party time. Why was I gonna, oh my goodness, I just had a question. Marcy, do you have a question so I can like get my brain back?
Yes, sure. So where do you see the next year going for you as far as with regards to the area, as in regards to COVID? I mean, do you foresee that it's going to just continue upward, or do you see a trend of anything going that's going to interfere with the flow of business right now.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to continue. You know, and I listened to your previous podcast the other day with the lady who does the micro weddings, which I love that podcast, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I've had small packages like that in my, as a part of what I offer for 5 years now. And so, you know, I feel like if anything, I'm going to see an influx because I have an all weekend package where you can be with me all weekend and book the cottages and have 30 people sleeping here, or yeah. I have these under 50 packages. And so I feel like if anything, I'm just going to get more of those under 50 packages that people are going to start migrating to instead of the big, you know, thing. Or like I said, people will book me with 50 people and still do that all weekend plan. You know what I mean? Only with their 50 people because it's in their budget and they're like, I want this whole place and I want it for the weekend for my 50 people. So.
Well, and I love the fact that we're talking about expectations. My favorite comment from a bride though, when she comes in is like, you know, well, we're planning on buying a house. You know, what can you do on your pricing? And I love the fact that you said, well, you're not buying half of me. You're buying all of me. Yeah. And you don't want to buy half of me. You want to buy all of me. Do you ever tell a bride no? Like, have you ever said, look, we're not a good match?
Yes.
Yes. No more.
The ones who asked.
Whoever gets the square.
The ones who immediately asked me to cut my prices, you know, or the ones who try to cross things out of my contract, those are no. I just let them know. I'm like, you know, I'm not willing to do that. I've really honed in on my skills and what I'm good at and what I offer and why I offer it. And right. If you obviously clearly don't see the value in it right now, we should go forward and best of luck to them.
Have you ever had a vendor say no to signing your expectations, your list? I was about to say, I would find that kind of crazy that somebody would say, no, I don't want business. I don't want your business.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is I've had with caterers, when it's a big team of people coming in, I do ask that they list each person coming to work and serve for liability reasons.
Oh, yeah.
I don't show that to my client, but you know what I mean? God forbid somebody stole somebody's purse, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Need to know.
Or a $500 bottle of tequila.
Oh, yes. True story. Yeah. That happened
to
us.
Or one's cracked out in the bathroom, you know, through their pit in the bathroom. We got to call an ambulance. Yeah.
I know Brooke was just about to mention because I know exactly, I could see her face like, I know exactly who that bride is.
Yeah.
Because
I was going to comment more on communication and how we use some of the things we do and why we're so successful with Keith Hillary Mons. But that did pop into mind.
Yeah. We call that our Coco Chanel wedding. FYI, for anybody listening, it's our code word for Coke. Because,
well,
that was not a good day. Anyway, not a good day.
Keep the children out of the bathroom with you, please.
Yeah, exactly. Please. Yeah. I mean, and so that actually brings up a really good kind of roundup question. What do you do with a bride that gets out of control? Because we've all had them.
Great question.
You know, it's part of our life. What do you do? Because I know part of my job is being a psychologist, part-time psychologist, but also sometimes I'm a police officer and a cop.
You referring to out of control on the wedding day or prior?
Yeah,
to-
on the wedding day. Like,
or
you know,
a family member.
Or a family member. Yes.
Okay. Like I said, I'm not afraid to call him in here to the principal's office and be like, we have to talk. If I ask you to come to my office and sit in my office and talk with me on wedding day, it's probably not good. Like,
yeah, right.
So I'm not afraid to ask people, you know, that. But I'm really fortunate. I've really never had any brides, you know, other than get drunk and stupid and fall off a speaker. You know what I mean?
You're like insurance. Yeah, you need your insurance.
I've never had any of them do anything like that. You know, I've had some brides and some grooms. I had a groom who stripped down to his underwear, broad daylight, first dance.
Wow, was it worth it?
I will say it's probably the highlight of his life as far as his body and the prime shape. You know what I mean?
Yes, I was about to say. I mean, hello. You know.
But, you know, it's one of those things. The next day, I was like, how you feeling, buddy? Like, we're really, really tore up at 5 o'clock. So,
yeah, you look good.
That's going to be on Facebook like next week.
Oh my God.
You know, so I, de- I definitely talk to them, you know, the next day or whatever. But I always encourage them beforehand. When they get here on Friday, I'm like, don't do it. Don't get drunk. Don't do anything that you don't want everybody to know about and talk about and see and post on Facebook, because it will happen. So I'm just like, don't embarrass yourself. So I give everybody a little pre-mom talk when they get here. So,
well, and you know what? I think I really feel like your ability to be a boss versus a bee is that kind of you exude confidence in what you do. Yeah. I can feel it. Like when I'm talking to you right now, I know, you know, I need to do a good job, and I need to, because, or mom's going to get mad. Right. Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the authoritative, but in a loving way. And I feel like that is kind of your thing. Am I correct in that? I mean, it sounds like you really love what you do, and that you love all the people that you work with, and you just really want them to be the best of them.
Yeah. I mean, I want everybody to have a great time and a great experience. You know, and I tell people, I'm like, I've been doing this a long time. So if you listen to me, this is probably going to turn out right. If you don't listen to me, you're probably not going to be happy on Sunday when this is all over, because you made some stupid decisions and you thought you knew better than me. And I've done 500 events and you've done none. So we really what this is. So, you know, like I told, I had a mom a few weeks ago, she's a home decorator, and she was trying to tell me how to do everything. And I was like, it's going to rain. It's going to pour. No, we're staying outside. They stayed outside. You know what she sent me on Monday? She was disappointed that I didn't prepare her better for the rain. And I just told her, I said, are the consequences of your actions. I said, I spent 2 hours discussing with you because you paid me to advise you on the best thing to do. I even called the airport and got a weather briefing, and they said, go inside.
They didn't even say rain. They said, go inside.
And I told her, I said, I'm disappointed in your actions for not listening to the professionals that you hired, and that you didn't go inside, and that 250 people had to cram into the stables and be damned. So I let her know the consequences of her actions. It was her decision, you know, and I did the best I could to work with her and her bad decisions.
Well, Dixie, it has been a real pleasure talking to you for the last hour. Oh my God. I had an amazing time, and hopefully the listeners out there are also having a good time. And by the way, thank you, Dixie, for being on our very first iHeartRadio show. Thank you. You're part of the new direction. I'm so excited. Thank you, iHeartRadio, for including us, and as well as iTunes, Spotify, and Pandora. We're on all of those. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for supporting the Behind the Veil show. Next week, we're going to be welcoming Karen Lee, the owner of one of the nation's largest bridal expo companies. And it's actually called Bridal Expo, and the owner of Ideas to I Do. So she's going to be on our show next Tuesday at 2. So join us next week. But for now, everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody.